is going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
And welcome to House of Pod, week three of quarantine.
Yes, scales have begun to develop on my hands because of dryness and washing. They may be entirely or halfway made of soap. I'm not 100% sure.
We still don't have any toilet paper. It's getting very serious.
I also fear we may have hunted pizzas near extinction. I haven't seen a wild frozen pizza running about in a little bit. No. We must be vigilant.
Oh, man, that's unfortunate. So, yeah. The more weird times have been obviously coming up. That this whole nonsense has been extended another month, so we will adapt as need be, like the chameleons that we're turning into.
Yes.
Later on in the episode, we are going to give our predictions for WrestleMania 36.
The tentative ones, because cards subject to change. Yeah. I guess they might already have been taped, some of them, but I don't know.
I don't understand what's going to happen, but it's either going to be probably one of the best Hail Mary WrestleManias in the world, or just a big old pile of poop.
I know which one I'm betting on. So, can we have an extra point for that?
If it's a pile of poop, you get an extra point.
I'm probably betting, well,
I'd be okay. There are some really good matches that are on that card, which I'm relatively excited for, but it's just the circumstances surrounding it is very odd.
And it's all going to be in an empty arena. Yeah. And some of these shows have been a little rough.
Yeah, that's very
true.
3 hours
of empty arena Raw. Ugh. I like what they did in AEW I think it was a week or two back, where they had like four or five people in the crowd from each side. So it was like something.
Yeah, they've kind of been keeping with that. They had like one side is heel and one side is face. So there's at least, it gives it like one of those like the kaiju wrestling matches that I used to play shows at, like where there's like, you know, there's only like 5 to 10 people there in general. And so it's like, oh, you can hear every random person yell every so often. So, but yeah, we will crack into that a little bit. First, let's go ahead and dive into some more of, I guess, Corona news. We haven't come up with a clever name, but I'd rather not, because then that would just mean it's going to be here for a while.
Which I'm actually kind of hoping for. Ghoul needs to get down to the affordable range.
Yeah, I'm going crazy, as you can tell by my stutter. So, since this was pushed back another month, we have a lot of movies that basically just were like, you know, fuck it, we'll wait until next year.
They got the Batman.
Yeah. I don't know how far they got pushed back.
Me either.
But
I'm not too disappointed about it though. It was something I'm like, I'm kind of curious for it, but I'm not really like, oh man, Robert Pattinson is Batman. I want to see this. I don't know why I went Vince voice there for a second.
I'm pretty excited for that movie. I think if they're sticking with that like Long Hollows or the Long Halloween, I believe is.
Yeah,
it has a very like that / year two vibe to it, kind of.
Well, the director said it is his second year as Batman. Well, so
there you go. When it comes to movies that they've actually given dates, mostly Sony. Sony is just, I think the only movie that's coming out this year now is a Kevin Hart's movie, Fatherhood, I believe it's called. It's just out in December. But they've moved. Well, first, this isn't Sony, but this is also a disappointment. Top Gun is now coming out in December as opposed to June 24th.
Don't care.
I'm never going to see Maverick. Ghostbusters Afterlife was moved to March 5th of next year, from July of this year. Morbius was moved to March 19th of next year, as opposed to this year.
So yeah, we get Ghostbusters and then Morbius.
Yep.
A week later. I like it.
Yeah. Although this one
is... That half does not work out. Yeah. 2 weeks later.
This one was still in 2021, but they have an Uncharted movie coming out that was pushed back from March to October. So that one isn't as affected too much. I think it's just more or less making room for these other movies that are being shoved in there.
Yeah, because we also have Spider-Man 3 and then the untitled sequel that's a Sony Marvel split, which has been postponed indefinitely from June.
What do you think that would be?
I'm assuming it's a Sinister Six movie. I think most other people are too. It seems like they've been trying to do one forever and it just keeps on falling flat. I mean, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 only existed to set up a Sinister Six. And, well, that didn't work out for him so well.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they decided to put Paul Giamatti being an overacting, or overacting a Russian in a mechanical rhino suit.
I love Paul Giamatti in that. What are you talking about?
I mean, it was entertaining.
I'm going to get you, Spider! That's so funny.
I am the rhino! it was something.
Oh, man. So, Bash, we have some more moving news as well.
Mm-hmm.
The one Andy Serkis.
Yes, he has confirmed that Venom 2 will not actually be delayed. It's still slated to come out October 2nd.
Which is good. Who's he mo-capping?
Huh?
You said Andy Serkis, right?
He's directing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
It was in one of my news things a couple months ago.
I probably forgot. It just moved out of the memory banks. Well, that's cool. I mean, I'm...
I love that you hear Andy Serkis, though. Oh, who is he motion capturing?
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. He's kind of typecast in that, unfortunately.
He could be Ulysses S. Claw.
Yeah,
or, that's true. Or, you know, many other iconic roles. The guy in 13 versus 30, her boss.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Also, he didn't confirm this, but I guess that we're slated for a Venom 2 trailer possibly this week or next. I'm kind of hoping for this week because I want to see the trailer.
Yeah, hope would be very nice in these dreary times.
Yeah, and I think I said that last week because a week before the trailer came out, they kind of were like, oh, hey, here's some stills that leaked. Oh, no.
Quote, unquote. So hopefully we'll be getting that soon. Just kind of tie it over. When was the? Do you know what the original release date is supposed to be?
What
for Venom? Yeah,
October 2nd.
Okay,
and it's still October 2nd.
That's fine. That's good. Oh, that's what I meant. Like when I don't mean original release date. I meant the release date. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm really interested to see what Carnage is going to look like. And God, I hope this isn't PG-13.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be PG-13. You really can't do a Carnage movie with PG-13, though.
I know.
Like you could tell in Venom, there are certain scenes where it's like, I think he was supposed to bite a head off there.
Or like,
or when, there was more room for it than there should have been.
Who's the main bad guy in Venom?
Riot?
Riot? Okay, yeah. Like that scene where he like turned both his arms into scythes and like sliced the room in half.
Yeah. And he didn't slice the room in half. He pushed the room away. Yeah, it was like, pushed away.
Yeah,
it's like,
no.
That's not what blades do.
You can't. I mean, I don't want the Maximum Carnage video game to be more violent than a Carnage movie or a movie with Carnage in it. You know what I mean? He's supposed to be ruthless. I want to see Black Cat die. If she's
okay, they're not gonna go through his entire gallery of people he's killed. I believe they have confirmed. What's his girlfriend's name? Banshee? No.
Who? Cletus Cassidy's?
Yeah.
Or maybe Banshee does sound familiar.
Hmm.
But oh, she's confirmed to be in the movie too.
Yes.
Okay, that'll be interesting. So another kind of Marvel like news. Marvel Unlimited, the online like comic shop, basic or not shop, but like their online comic service, has announced that starting today of the time recording, April 2nd, up until this whole next month, I believe, they're putting up a bunch of free like full stories of. I have some examples right here: Avengers versus X-Men, great one; Civil War, obviously awesome. The X-Men Milestones Dark Phoenix, which I don't necessarily, I think that's like the big point, like the main points, because like the Phoenix Saga went on forever in the comics.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I want to see the Phoenix eat a star.
Why won't she eat stars?
Uh-huh. And also that's Shriek, not Banshee.
Okay.
My mind came up with it a bit ago.
Gotcha. And then the other one I got is the Avengers Kree Skrull Empire War, which I have not read, but I heard was really good. And they have a bunch more on there that I don't know if you have to necessarily sign up, but their website shows like they have like the full stories for people to read, considering everyone's stuck inside and like no new comics are coming out and comic book stores are still closed. You know, that gives them an opportunity to read comics.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. I'm pretty excited about that one.
I recommend everyone catch up on The Boys because season 2 is coming.
Oh yeah,
it's supposed to be sometime this summer.
I need to catch up on The Boys. Rather, I haven't seen the show.
Oh, it's so good.
I've heard very good things. I've seen clips here and there, but I haven't seen the show and the comic. Just nothing.
There's a few key differences, which I believe we promised the viewers a episode of that a couple of months ago. So we're getting there.
Yeah, well,
for season two.
Yeah, so exactly. We'll do like a recap kind of thing. So that'll be perfect. On a personal note, I am a huge fan of the show Community.
And I have never seen Community.
I know. I feel like I'm that guy who always talks about Community, but everyone's like, yeah, I've never really seen it. Like, oh, have you seen Community? But Netflix acquired the rights from Sony, who originally owned it, somehow. But
Sony seems to own a lot of random things somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that the WWE just buying talent so no one else has it. Sorry, carry on.
But yeah, they put all 6 seasons up on Netflix, like, now, which is awesome because the hashtag 6 seasons in a movie was always a run-on joke until they hit the 6-season mark. And now it seems like if there were ever going to be a movie, Netflix would be the way to do it.
I mean, yeah, they do make a lot of Netflix originals.
Oh, the only downside, though, is I know Dan Harmon has said that if they're ever going to make a movie, they would have to have Donald Glover back. Because he left...
This is America.
Yeah, he left, I think, at, like, season 5, maybe, like, halfway through season 5,
to go Lando it up?
Yeah, no, it was hilarious because it was Chevy Chase's character gave... he passed away and gave... Donald Glover's character a boat to travel around the world, and it was called like the something Gambino, and like because he was going off to pursue music, so the boat was the name of his rap career, basically. Childish Gambino. Yeah, I don't think it was Childish Gambino, but I know it was like, or it was like the USS Gambino or something like that, which I just, another reason why I love Community, or that's all those nods. But yeah, that's just a personal note. Everybody should watch Community because it's great. And I'm assuming if everyone watches it, then we'll actually get a movie. So, thumbs up on that one. But speaking of streaming services, we finally finished up Picard.
Uh-huh.
And wasn't exactly... It was good. I liked it.
Had some problems.
It was, yeah. And I actually...
Riker still has an amazing beard.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's a little bit whiter now, but he's still got it.
I feel like all the old cast members still had it. Like, I mean, like, you know, Patrick Stewart has gotten up there in age, but he still can. I mean, he is Picard. That's one of those, like,
he actually looks a lot better now than he did in the episode where he aged I don't know how many years.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was the first couple episodes, like, they definitely set the plot for it, but like what the movie's about. Like, we have like Data's daughter. And he's trying to figure out, like, where she came from and all this stuff. And then there comes this, like, bigger, grander subplot. I guess spoilers. It's minor spoilers. I don't know if I want to necessarily talk about the ending too much.
I'll try to avoid it.
Spoilers. We'll just say spoilers. You can go ahead and... It's all on CBS Access, but...
Plus, actually, listening to this might help you understand it a little bit better.
Yeah. So, pretty much, it's like the initial kind of big event that happened was there was a synthetic revolt or malfunction on Mars, and the Starfleet just shut the whole, like, that was like they just nixed synthetics altogether. But it was actually
and didn't evacuate Romulans.
Yeah,
in the wake of that. That's a pretty important plot point.
Yes, and it turns out that it was like the whole thing was like was sabotaged by the Romulans because there was some weird like apocalyptic thing that they knew about where if like there were synths would eventually like take over, and that was them trying to prevent it.
Data's brother wanted.
Yeah. Lore? Lore? Is that his name?
I can't remember.
I don't even remember what season that was in. But anyway, so, and it turns out that this Data's daughter is kind of like the catalyst of this all. But the series plays out more like a mystery than your typical, like, Next Generation episodes. Like,
which I think is might have been a reason that I was kind of disappointed by it.
Yeah, because it definitely wasn't your typical, like, here's this problem, Enterprise floating above space kind of deal, like, you know, it always is. But there was just a lot of...
Yeah, we were almost halfway through before we actually got to space.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of twists and turns up until the point where they just like exposition dump everything on you, which that tends to happen. But overall, I really liked it. And I would say for just because like avoiding complete spoilers, the end of it is like a what the fuck. But we get a great send off between Picard and Data, which I think I told you I rewatched all of the Next Generation movies like this past week just to pass time by. And I don't think I've ever seen Nemesis before.
I still have not seen Nemesis.
Because I definitely would have remembered that Tom Hardy was in it. And the fact that he's like, I was in those mines for 10 years. And I was like, oh, you were an adult when you saw the light? And I'm like, oh my God, two characters. He is Bane. But yeah, like Data just kind of like, not necessarily unceremoniously dies like in the movie. Like he saves everyone basically, but like he dies in the process.
Which, and that was the actor's choice because he's like, guys, Data ages, or Data does not age. He's an android, and I'm
aging. Yeah, we got a problem here. So the send-off that they had in this was a lot nicer than, like, I don't even think, like, Picard, there wasn't really, like, a goodbye or anything because it was in the middle of all this craziness that was happening, and then a ship blows up and Data's gone. But then there's
all right.
Like, the... They didn't mention this in here, I don't believe, in Picard, but in Nemesis, there's another Data. There's like a lower, or like a prototype model of him that they find, which originally was, which originally was like a plant, or like the bag, Tom Hardy planted like a kind of a tracking thing so he can get information from everyone from him. But at the end, like, he, I guess, tried forming, like, was friends with Picard. Because Picard's like, oh, you know, you'll try, we can help you try to be more than you are. And I think they were playing that Blue Sky. That's it. He started singing that at the end of it, which was nice. But, yeah, this was far and above better than that.
Yes.
So... do you have any other thoughts on the Picard?
Really pissed me off that they put the, the artifact, the Borg cube at the very beginning, which if you put something in Act 1, you better make sure you use it in Act 3.
Yeah, right, Chekhov's Borg cube.
Yeah, they didn't really have too much Borg involvement here, and when Seven plugged herself in and was like, we are the Borg, I'm like, yes, finally! And then they open the airlock and kill all the drones. I'm like, what the hell? There's no payoff. Why do they have the Borg cube there?
I also think that was weird because they added a little bit of lore to Romulans, like kind of like went into their backstory because they've always sort of just been the bad guys, but then it's the whole like...
And they're secretive, which is why there was no lore.
Mm-hmm. But then it's like, oh no, we're the good guys kind of stuff. But the whole thing with the Borg ship was the same thing with what happened with Picard in the series is like you, if someone's assimilated, like you can take them out of that simulation? A simulation?
Out of the collective.
Yeah, and that's essentially what they were doing, was they were studying, there was like the Borg cube, they were studying all the technologies, obviously, but like they were like stripping people of the Borg parts to try to like bring them back to life, because they were all kind of in stasis, I suppose. Yeah. That was Picard. I'm curious, I wouldn't mind a second season. The ending, like I said, was like, what the fuck? Kind of thing. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind another one.
It ends with a Picard negotiation.
Huh?
It ends with a Picard negotiation.
Mm-hmm. Picard is my captain. I prefer him over James T. Kirk. But,
like... And he's just a little bit lower than Janeway for me.
Yeah, I know you're a Voyager fan.
I am.
But the thing with Picard is I, like, and it might just be with like Patrick Stewart, although they kind of did it with X-Men, is like, I can't see anyone else playing Picard.
Yeah, no, there's no way.
Yeah, they replaced Kirk with
Chris Pine.
Yes, I've said Steve Trevor from his Wonder Woman character. But yeah, they replaced him, and like I accepted that.
Wait. We had three Chrises to choose from, and you went with Steve Trevor.
Yes.
Okay.
I, you know, he's good, and I like that because I mean Shatner is his own kind of character.
Yes,
like,
he is very much so.
Spock. but you can't do that with Picard. I just don't see it.
Yeah, no, there's no way.
I feel like once
can play him.
Yeah, once Stewart retires the character, that should be it for the next generation, basically.
Probably. Kind of like Indiana Jones, when Harrison Ford, or someone asks Harrison Ford, like, oh, who's going to play Indiana Jones after you? He's like, no one.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I'm Indiana Jones.
Except Shia LaBeouf as well. No, he was supposed to, and then we all saw Crystal Skull. We all know what happened after that. So yeah, prior to the wrestling, let's talk about wrestling news.
I only have two pieces for you. First, we finally saw Smiley Kylie Rae show up in Impact. Like, she kind of did it before, and then everyone's like, oh, is she going to be there now? And she's like, no, there's been no contract signed. Now she officially is. She showed up, and she beat Cassandra Golden, so it just kind of, like, adds more to their stacked women's roster.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that Impact and NXT have just, like, this stacked roster, and no one else does?
Yeah, I know, that's weird. I'm still, like...
And great storylines. I think NXT's a little bit better than Impact, but...
Why did she...
I also might be biased.
Why did she leave AEW in the first place?
I don't think it was ever said.
It's interesting.
But yeah, I guess she's just said like, oh yeah, from the first time I showed up in Impact, like I knew I was home. I was supposed to be here. But yeah, it was kind of weird that she left considering like she was one of the most popular characters.
Yeah, and at that time...
Cocaine Bailey.
At that time, like Dynamite wasn't a thing. Like it didn't really take off yet. So Maybe it's something like that because Impact already has like their deals and all that stuff. But yeah, I just thought that was weird because I was really like with her and Dr. Britt Baker and I almost said Nia Jax, Nyla Rose. Like those three, I was the most excited for in the women's division.
And Yuka Tsukazaki.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. Obviously.
Love that little genie girl.
But yeah, I just thought that was really strange that she just kind of like left that early, I guess. But hey, to each his own. I'm sure. I mean, Impact has definitely gotten a little bit better over the years. Now that Hogan's not in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're trying to build their own talent. Surprise, surprise.
We need to go to a four-sided ring, brother.
Right?
But the six-sided ring is what makes us unique. We need to go to a four-sided ring, brother.
Brother. This isn't... this isn't necessarily we should do wrestling news at least once, but just talk like Hogan the whole time.
Oh god,
just a lot of brothers after everything.
I would need to watch the interviews and
listen to your brother
voice.
Mick Foley, brother, that's a good brother right there, brother. But yeah, Mick Foley, this isn't necessarily news. I just think this is very lighthearted and up, like Mick Foley's the fucking man. He put up earlier today on Twitter, a video of him basically saying, like, with all the stuff that's been going on, like, normally when there's, like, a crisis or, like, a disaster, like, he has fundraisers and does all that stuff, but since he's quarantined and not even with his family, like, I think he said that he was, like, he still is, like, a couple weeks out from seeing them.
Oh, wow.
Which sucks, yeah. To basically help people, he's like, just go ahead and like, ask me something and with the hashtag free Foley video. And he said that he would try to get to as many people as he can and send them, like DM them a video of him, like talking to him and stuff. Or like, requesting it. Which I was like, that is fucking sweet. And a lot better than what other celebrities have been doing since this whole thing started. But I thought that was something, and that's why I love Mick Foley so much. And he brought up, he's like, you can ask me, talk about anything except the Hell in the Cell match. I was like understandable.
Yeah,
probably doesn't want to relive that shit anymore.
Plus that would have been all of them, and that was actually the first question that popped into my mind. But not the Hell in a Cell match itself, is like, with someone that's in as we, you know, he was really big into kayfabe, like almost as much as The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. Was he secretly a little bit mad at Terry Funk for running down, even though it was just to like take a gentle, we're going to call that pick up and gently put down on the mat a choke slam and buy him like 5 more minutes of recovery time?
Yeah. Well, that's a, that would be an that would be an interesting question if it wasn't about the Hell in a Cell match. Yeah. So yeah, if you have, I mean, I haven't really tried it. I feel like that we, I don't have a personal Twitter. We just have the podcast one. So I feel like I didn't try it because I'm like, I don't want to seem like this is a selfless promotion for anything. I was thinking just to like, retweeting it. Cause I generally think that's like that's a really sweet thing to do, especially like if you like not having anything to do for 2 weeks, not even hanging out with your family, you might as well try to like, you know, help people out who are in weird spots, you know.
Either that or DDP yoga.
Yes. DDP yoga indeed. Do we have any more wrestling bits?
One more piece. The Raw Go Home show, which we saw on Monday, was down a couple viewers from last year.
Yeah, I heard.
700,000.
That yeah.
So yeah, about 750,000, a little less, but
it's a little it's a lot. It's not a little. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's an unprecedented situation. The empty arena matches. It's there's just spots where like a crowd would have. Well, most spots where a crowd would have made it better.
See, I feel, but like, and that's weird because like I have actually been really enjoying a lot of the stuff that AEW's been doing with this kind of empty arena thing. So I don't feel like it, I don't know what the numbers for them are. You would think the fact that everyone is supposed to be quarantined inside, your stats wouldn't drop that far because it's not like people are out doing anything. You can't rely on the, oh, there's sports happening, because yeah, there are no sports happening. There's
nothing distracting.
Absolutely nothing.
Except news.
Yeah.
There's news stations.
Yeah, and I've had about enough of listening to all that fear mongering, so.
No, more fear.
No.
Get Google stock to an affordable price.
That's not, that would make it worse though. That would just, well, you want it to drop not for more? Me? Oh, no. No, I don't want, we got, I got.
No, you buy when it's low.
Well, yeah, but what if you're already invested in the stock market and it continues to drop like that?
It'll go back up. It's never seen a longer than 20 year dip.
Oh, longer than 20 years. So like the economy will only be 20 years.
I'm just saying, over 20 years, a diversified portfolio has never seen a negative loss. Anywho.
See, we're intelligent over here.
Yes.
We talk about more than just wrestling, but right now.
We're going to talk about wrestling.
Exactly. So, AEW Dynamite this week. Honestly, I'm just going to go ahead and say it right off the bat. My favorite Jericho promo ever. I was laughing so fucking hard
when I
was
watching. I'm going to have to agree with you. Oh
my god, it was so funny.
And all of you should watch it. Either pause this podcast now and go watch it, or watch it after this podcast, because pure gold. Like just every time you see it, there's just like something else. Like
it's so great. Well, I'll get to that in a second, but so let's just go ahead and run through the card really quick. Excuse me. I need to drink. We started out, they announced the quarterfinals for the new TNT Championship. We're going to, I believe it starts next week. I don't know how often they're going to space it because the finals were supposed to be at Double or Nothing in May, but I don't know if that's even happening anymore.
And see, it's really interesting the way they put this out because one of the matches is actually what I predicted the finals would have been once I heard this was coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And is it the Darby and Sammy Guevara?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's one of the quarterfinals.
I honestly thought it was going to be those two as the finals. Like, oh, okay. Yeah.
So I'm interested to see where it's gone because we have Cody versus Shawn Spears, Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara, Lance Storm versus Colt Cabana.
Lance Archer.
I'm sorry. Okay. Not Lance.
I was like, whoa.
From out of retirement.
And out of WWE contract.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm pretty sure he's an NXT trainer.
I think he is too.
I think he might be an NXT UK trainer.
Yeah, I thought he had his own shop up in Canada.
I believe he also does too. Anyway.
Regardless. And he's a trainer. The other match is Dustin Rhodes versus Kip Sabian. So, this should be, I mean, I kind of feel like looking at the board, we might end up with like a Darby versus Lance, like David versus Goliath kind of fight.
I'm not 100% sure on that. That's a difficult one to predict.
Yeah. Well, it's
because like I still kind of pictured Sammy Guevara winning this, even if Darby wasn't the finale. I thought the Inner Circle would have something to do with that. And I honestly thought Guevara was going all the way. But, like, Jake the Snake has just been a phenomenal mouthpiece for Archer. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, up to Archer to kind of, like, okay, now I'll show you how I can wrestle.
He was a fucking monster today at this episode. And we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
This first match of the night, we had Kenny Omega versus Trent from Best Friends. Great match. Like, really good match. Like, Kenny's been having just, like, a string of fantastic singles matches, and this isn't any different.
Kenny's had years of great singles matches.
Yeah, right? There was this wicked buckle bomb, but it wasn't a buckle. It was, there was like a support beam that was in there, because they were in a different location outside of the Daily Plaza. So there's this big-ass support beam that was there that Kenny hit Trent with, buckle bombed him on there. Then there's an even more wicked pile driver from Trent to Kenny Omega, which is, I always like, I think instinctively, I'm like, I'm terrified every time I see pile drivers, especially when they come out of like nowhere or in like a quick succession of sorts, you know?
Is it because of that one pile driver that Austin asked Owen not to do and he did anyway?
Yep. And yep, that's exactly okay. It. But the match, which almost ended in a draw because it was like 1 minute left of the 20-minute time limit, ended with Kenny Omega hitting the V-trigger and then obviously doing his one-winged angel. So it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like I said, just solid match.
I honestly thought it was just going to go to draw.
I feel like I don't know if it would have been better if it did. It was interesting for it to be like, because they were doing the announcements over there, like 3 minutes remaining. Like, so you hear it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was like just a last chance, like, oh God, like really quick kind of thing. Or if it was more like, oh no, we're running out of time.
Well, no, because they did it for Cody versus Darby too.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that was just like, because Darby needed to look strong. Mm-hmm. And that was a good way to look strong, which I mean, I feel like Trent still looked awesome in here. And I love the, when there's a babyface versus babyface, because they're all so friendly at the beginning, and then eventually Trent starts like focusing the newly uncast hand of Kenny, which was very heelish.
Yeah. Also, didn't they do a hug, the Best Friends?
Yeah.
They don't know about social distancing.
No, they do not. Second match of the night, we had the debut of Anna Jay, who is from the Nightmare Wrestling School.
Okay.
Versus Hikaru Shida, which obviously, I mean, I will say Anna did and it looked good. The match itself, obviously, Hikaru ended up taking the victory. There was a really weird spot where like Hikaru threw Anna into the ropes. And then, you know how, like, normally you do that, and then when they bounce back, you do a drop kick, and you drop kick them, but there's, like, that time between them bouncing off the ropes and then coming back before you do it. Well, she just, like, threw Anna into the ropes and immediately drop kicked and just, like, fell flat on the ground, and then she came up and, like, did, like, a count. I can't remember what the actual move was, but to counter it, like, ended up doing that, but that was a little weird, but overall, I think it was a pretty good match, and it pretty solid debut, even though she didn't win the match, which I will say AEW does a really good job of, if you don't win, you still look good.
Yeah, it's always really weird, though, when you see someone lose their debut match, you're like, huh.
Yeah.
I mean, none weirder than Sting, but...
Yeah, that is a little weird. Up next, we had a promo from Jake the Snake just talking mad shit about Cody before Lance Archer's match against Marco Stunt. Now, obviously, Lance won because it's Marco Stunt. He's a very tiny man. Kudos to him.
Yeah.
Kudos to him because Lance threw him around so fucking much. Like, first, and what I love coming into the ring, it was like, or coming down to the ring, Lance, like, push the security guard out, or push the camera guy out of the way, like, punched another random, like, AEW employee that was there. And then when Marco Stunt tried to, like, stand up to him. When Marco Stunt, like, tried to step up to him, he just clotheslined him right away and then got on top of ropes and started celebrating. Like, it was nothing. He's, nice. Like, just running through people like nothing. And that is exactly what happened.
Yes.
Like, he fucked him up. And he threw him around. There was a couple spots where I was like, oh, my God. Like, that looks so painful, especially at the very end. Like, he beat him. I can't remember what his finisher was, but it looks like he's going to do a razor's edge, but then, like, flips over him and goes into, like, almost like a sit, like a pile driver or a powerbomb type of deal.
Huh.
Yeah. But then after he does that, wins the match, about to leave, comes back out and basically does the same thing, but chucks him out of the ring over the guardrails into the crowd of like three or four baby faces that were standing there.
Oh,
like that was like distance. Like, oh my God. It was pretty intense. Yes. Then after that, we had a promo from Brody Lee doing more Vince-ish things. I don't necessarily know if there's an actual story behind this or if he's just like, he's just being like this, you know?
I actually kind of hope that this is the last one, because it was like, okay, he's the exalted one. And then last week, it's like, oh, he's making fun of Vince. This is great. And now it's like, oh, he's making fun of Vince again.
I don't know.
The leader of the Dark Order.
Like, the jokes didn't necessarily seem like they were making fun of Vince. It just seemed like he was like a Vince type, like that kind of like overbearing boss sort of thing.
Kinda.
Because like the one guy yawned. And he, like, got in his face. He's, like, yawning shows weakness and all this other stuff. That's, which I can definitely see as a Vince
thing. Yeah, but that's a Vince thing.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes. But that led into the Natural Nightmares, QT Marshall and Dustin Reynolds fighting against the Dark Orders, just referred to as 8 and 9. They're just members, basically. So they lost pretty quickly. Not quickly, but they definitely lost. And then pretty much right after that, Brody Lee comes out. Like, stares down Dustin for a second, goes into the ring, and then power bombs one of the dudes from the Dark Order, stares down the other guy, and then just leaves. Like, I like that. I like that,
Brody. Yeah, he needs to do more of that.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, I'm excited to see him wrestle. He's so good. If you haven't listened to it, you should check out his he was on Talk Is Jericho. Like a couple days ago, I think.
Yeah, I actually kind of think that he's going towards the like civilized monster idea.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So hopefully that'll all pan out. But yes, okay, so this promo.
Oh my God.
All right, so it starts out with Jericho's just at his house in his hot tub, still wearing the leather pants, which you don't see until he gets out of the hot tub.
Oh, so good.
He calls Kenny Omega a pumpkin-headed shit face, which I died the first time I heard that. Pumpkin-faced shithead, that's what it was. And then basically congratulated Nick on his new baby, but told him to stay home.
At his new baby.
Drinking the bubbly. So then you hear the buzzing and here comes Vanguard 1. And Jericho is, like, still trying to get Vanguard 1 to join the inner circle.
I love the little t-shirt.
The little t-shirt, he just hung out on the little thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, come, you know, hang out. So then Vanguard 1 takes off. He starts chasing them. Jericho just turns around and says, release the hounds! And just the most unintimidating horde of dogs start running out. And, like, some are chasing him. Some are just standing there. It's just, oh my God, my description does not justify how brilliant it is. Everything about it was so fucking funny, and I love Jericho so much.
Yeah, everything in this was beautiful.
Seriously, like, the, oh man, this is a great,
what's that he calls his house?
I don't know.
Like, it's like the Chateau de la Champion or something like that.
I was going to say, like, Chateau Jericho sounds something like that.
Yeah, and then, like, when I watched it again, I saw the same thing, like, pop up in Vanguard's, like, little view screen. It's just like, oh my.
Yeah, this was, I highly suggest checking this out, this promo out, because it was just, even if you don't like wrestling, this shit was so funny. this leads into the last match of the night. We had, Sammy Guevara and Sean Spears up against Cody and Darby Allin. I will say one of my favorite bits is the fact that this whole gambling thing they've been doing on the sidelines, Sean and Sammy were doing that in the ring. So like they would pull money out, and it was for the stalling suplex. So like Sean would pull money out and be like 10 seconds and then do a stalling suplex. And then Sammy would be like 12 seconds and then try to do the stalling suplex. So I thought it was really funny.
I do enjoy that. Plus Sean Spears kind of needs a revival after he lost to Cody. That was just,
that's one of those
kind of a momentum killer.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall it was really, really good match. The ending was nice. There was some tension in the beginning between Cody and Darby, just because of like Darby's all broody and stuff, but it ended with, Sammy gave Sean the chair to hit Cody with. Darby grabbed the chair from Sean, who Darby was the legal man, and Sean was the legal man too. Sammy then, from the outside, pulled the chair away from Darby, which distracted him, giving Sean the opportunity for the most devastating move in the entire game.
In all of sports entertainment.
Surprise roll-up! And yeah, that was the end of it. Afterwards, Cody tries to help Darby, and Darby punches him in the mouth, and then he leaves. So I don't know what's going on with that.
I hope a skateboard gets involved. Yeah, because anytime Darby brings a skateboard into the ring, it's pure gold.
That happening also kind of leads me to believe that maybe Cody and Darby might meet each other in the semifinals.
I'd be okay with that. Nice little rematch there.
But then that would also mean that Sean Spears and Sammy Guevara would have to lose.
Yeah. What happens if they fight to a draw, if there's a time limit?
I don't know.
Just both not eliminated?
Sudden death. I actually have no idea.
That'd be an interesting twist.
But yeah, that was AEW for this week. Still solid show as always.
Mm-hmm.
How was NXT?
Well, we opened up and Sam Roberts is on commentary.
Okay. Well, everybody's favorite.
Yeah, that... I don't... I'm not sure. It's like a cross between an accountant and Shawn Michaels.
I don't know, guys.
Yeah, anyway.
Shawn Michaels. I like that.
Yeah. We open up with Velveteen Dream versus Bobby Fish. I mean, it was like a good show opener, but it wasn't anything spectacular. I don't know. It was kind of weird because I think I was expecting more from them, but then I remembered like, oh, this is an opening show. This is technically for the B title.
Yeah.
Technically, but I don't know. This is technically for the A title. Never mind. Ignore what I just said. It just felt like it was more for the B title.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, Bobby Fish just kind of like works the leg a lot, you know, as heels tend to do. But in the end, this is always going to be Dream's match. And he hits a one-legged Dream Valley driver and then, you know, 1, 2, 3, calls out Cole at the end. And he's like, you know, open your third eye, blah, blah, blah.
Open your third eye.
Next up, we have a Malcolm Bivens? I think it's Bivens. Promo him. And he introduces the Lumberjacks and skirts that we saw last week.
Oh, okay.
Rinku and Surf. So they are most likely Indian. And I'm going to assume from the Great Kali School of Wrestling.
Yeah, probably.
Mainly because I heard that they signed them, but I was like, I don't know these guys, so I'm not going to report it because I don't know what capacity
they're going to be involved. I didn't know Kali had his own wrestling school.
Yep. He teaches chops and big boots.
That you have to be more than 7 feet tall.
Chops and big boots. Well, it explains why there's two giant dudes with beards.
Yeah, exactly.
Together, the three of them are Malcolm Bivens Enterprises. So those two can wrestle. I assume they speak about as much English as the Great Kali does, and Bivens is their mouthpiece.
Okay.
Moving on. We have Dexter Lumis versus Jake Atlas. I know Jake Atlas has had a decent indie career. I think this might have been both of their debut matches on NXT. I'm not 100% sure.
They don't really sound any familiar to me.
I believe it was Dexter Lumis's. Jake Atlas might have had a few matches beforehand, but nothing that I can really remember at this time. Lumis was mostly dominant here. I mean, he was the giant bald man beating people up, so yes. Yeah, Atlas gets a few moves in, but Lumis just kind of like... double fists his throat.
Ooh.
Good luck getting an image of that out of your mind. And then he just kind of does it like this. It's like a sit-down Uranagi side slam. They haven't actually named it yet, as far as I could tell. It's kind of like doing a rock bottom, but he sits on the ground. And then he kind of like, while still holding the arm and head, he just kind of like locked it in. Like just kind of wrenched tight and turned it into a submission.
It's like, doesn't somebody do that? Or at least not without the lock, without the submission, but like that, like the rock butt slam.
Not quite a side effect.
Okay. That's what I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he gets the submission from that. I mean, I think it was a good debut, but it's kind of hard to tell because, like, every time they're going to show his debut now, they're going to go back and it's just going to be an empty arena with crickets.
Yeah.
They've done a good thing with promo music, so I assume they can figure it out from there. Okay. Give me a second. I need to take a deep breath here. Next up, we had the six-woman second chance gauntlet match for the ladder match for the first, or for the number one contendership for the women's title.
Woo! All right.
And I messed it up. Good thing I took a deep breath. So up first, we had Shotzi Blackheart versus Deonna Purrazzo. Shotzi just kind of puts her away with a top rope headbutt and then a senton, which brings out Xia Li next, who kicks the shit out of her. Just like, there's a drop kick, there's a roundhouse kick, there's a low roundhouse kick, there's an instant... She just kicks the shit out of her.
An educated feat there.
Yeah, but eventually Shotzi does land a... It just kind of looks like a reverse X-Factor, almost.
Like, she falls on, like, her back?
No, like, she's doing an X-Factor, but, like, Xia Li's flipped around. So instead of being a face buster, it's the back of a head buster.
Okay.
But that's just kind of weird to say. But then after she gets that, she does this, like... She kind of, like, brings both of her arms behind her back like she's going to do an unprettier while Xia is still sitting down, and then, like, flips over her, and it was a submission maneuver. Anyway, Xia Li taps to that.
Whoa.
It was kind of a unique finisher. Yeah. I also kind of feel bad that Xia Li has turned into cannon fodder to make other people look good because she herself is really good. I think she deserves a chance. Not necessarily, like, title run, but, you know, maybe... Put her in contention. Give her... Just move her up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, she taps out, so Aaliyah comes out. Which, you know, Aaliyah's in a match, so you always know she's going to lose. Shotzi just kind of gets her in this, like, double underhook. Same kind of thing as, like, the double chicken wing, but turns it into a German suplex. Which looks brutal. I think Aaliyah might have just fallen on the back of her neck.
Ooh, that's always awful.
Yeah, well, anyway, she just kind of, like, does the same submission, flips over her, and then Aaliyah taps out. Bringing out Caden Carter, who has been putting in so much work lately. Like, she was, I believe she's on Raw? She got destroyed by someone.
Okay.
I think it was Asuka.
That makes sense. She does that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think she deserves a little bit much, a little bit better treatment than she gets, but she got beaten here because, you know, Caden Carter's in a match.
Yeah.
She loses to, it's like a running knee, but then Shotzi Blackheart kind of like holds onto it and does a DDT like while she's still up on the top rope. Oh, I should have mentioned that. She throws her into the corner and then does a running knee. And then, like, while she's perched on the second rope, not the top rope, she does, like, a DDT from there.
Ooh, that sounds awesome. Mm.
Yeah. And then climbs up to the top rope for a senton. 1, 2, 3. Which brings out the final person in this gauntlet match. Shotzi's limited to everyone. And then Dakota Kai with Caden... Or I almost said Caden Carter again. Dakota Kai with Raquel Gonzalez comes out. It's actually a decently competitive match. Kai kind of, like, rolls out at one point to regroup, and then Shotzi just, like, dives out, hits her and Raquel Gonzalez, howls like a wolf, which, not necessary, but pretty awesome, and then throws Dakota Kai back in, and that's when Raquel Gonzalez grabs her by the hair. She kind of, like, hoists Shotzi onto her shoulder like she's going to give her a snake eyes into the ring post. Shotzi, like, wriggles free and just shoves her into the steel stairs. About to climb back into the ring when Kai hits her with a knee to the face.
Oh.
Yeah, just classic heel work. She's done all the legwork and Kai just kind of comes in and steals it. It's great. But yeah, she kind of, or Dakota Kai, like, picks her up, hoists her on her shoulders, throws her up, go to kick, 1, 2, 3, and she's got her spot in the ladder match with Mia Yim, Candice LeRae, Io Shirai, and Chelsea Green. I'm not sure if it's going to be a fatal five-way or a six-way ladder match. Like, it don't have a lot of five-way matches. It always turns into six for whatever reason.
Yeah, they like even numbers, maybe?
Yeah, more playable in video games.
True.
So there might be one more, or it could be a fatal five-way. Either way, I'm pretty excited for this ladder match.
Yeah.
I also hope Xia Li gets kind of thrown in there, just because.
Just because.
Either that, or I don't know, maybe it'll be Charlotte or Rhea, whoever loses. That's one of the ones that I'm actually going to have to pick later when we do predictions, because I don't have anything picked for that. I've been thinking about it, and I'm not sure. It's so irritating. Which brings me to my next point. Next up, we had a Rhea Ripley title match promo.
All right.
It was good. You know, kind of promoted it. Still not sure who's going to win.
Should be. That's one of the ones I'm more interested in, definitely.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that has the potential to steal the show.
Yep.
Moving on, we have Kushida versus Joaquin Wilde. This was a fast-paced match, as you would expect from these two.
I love Kushida.
Oh, yeah. Kushida, actually, he kind of did this, like, really cool... It looked like he was going for a monkey flip, but instead of, like, flipping him over with his feet, he kind of, like, twirled him to the side and, like, almost locked the armbar in, but Joaquin got to the ropes with his feet. Anyway, he ends up, like, throwing him into the ropes, doing an arm... I think it's an arm drag a hip toss. He kind of like hip tosses him over and then throws him into an arm bar, and Joaquin just has to tap.
I honestly, every time I see Kushida, I get the Back to the Future theme song stuck in my head.
I actually don't know the Back to the Future theme song.
Back in time. I think it's Huey Lewis and the News are due.
Well, I don't want to hear it if it gets stuck in my head. Moving on. Then we see Joaquin Wilde, which he was having an interview in the parking lot after his match, which I find kind of a strange place for an interview in a parking lot. Anyway, he gets abducted by people in luchador masks, kind of like Raul Mendoza does.
That's why he was in the parking lot. You can't drive a van inside the building.
I mean, now you might be able to. No one's going to get in your way.
That's true.
But yeah, so we have Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde. Maybe the Dark Order's abducting people.
They're just stealing him from the other side.
That would be an interesting storyline, really, honestly. Like, the Dark Order just keeps on bringing in these defects from WWE.
Right. And then strength in numbers.
And then Tony Khan comes out in a red cloak. It was me, WWE. It was always me.
Oh, no.
Or it was me all along.
No.
God, I messed up a Vince line.
I'd be so upset about that.
But next up, we had the main event. I was about to call it the final event, but the main event. We have the buttery voice of Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic versus Damian Priest in a giant cruiserweight division title match. Also known as the North American title, because it just seems like these giant men fighting for a title, but they all move like cruiserweights.
Yeah.
They're all a freak of nature. Like, there were several just awesome spots in this match. Like, Lee was in kind of an electric chair on Dijakovic's shoulders. And then Damian Priest does this, like, spinning wheel kick off the top rope, like, into Lee. It looks pretty brutal. Then Dijakovic kind of, I think he hip tosses Priest again. Or he does this, like, weird move to, like, throw Damian Priest at Lee. But Lee catches him, so Dominik, like, runs at him, and Lee just, in powerbomb position, still just, like, whips Damian Priest, like, at Dijakovic, hits him in the stomach, Dominik falls, and then Lee powerbombs Damian Priest on top of Lee, like, four or five times, like, without letting go of the grip.
Holy shit.
And then he finally does a spirit bomb, but it's broken up by Dijakovic just in time.
Jesus Christ. Was Priest just dead? Just broken in half?
Well, that's kind of what motivates him to go get the nightstick from outside of the ring.
He's like, I can't do this on my own.
Yeah, which brings about the finisher, because Dijakovic has at this point thrown Lee out of the ring, and he kind of like gets Damian Priest up for a feast your eyes, because he sees the nightstick. He's like, nope, not falling for it. So he goes for the feast your eyes, but Priest is like, oh, I'm going to put the nightstick in front of my face, because I know where your knee's going. Priest hits Dijakovic in the knee with his nightstick, and then Keith Lee just pounces Damian out of the ring.
Just like a big body check pounce?
Or... No, just run in, double palm, boom.
Oh my God. When he did that to Adam Cole, that was like that should be a move of his, just pouncing people on
that the has rings. Basically just become a move of his. Like the other week when Cameron Grimes forgot his lines, Keith was just like, nah, I'll just pounce him out of the ring. And it worked miraculously.
Pounces him out of the ring.
But he pounces him out of the ring, hits a Big Bang Catastrophe on the one-legged Dominic now. 1, 2, 3, Keith Lee retains. And we just bask in his glory.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I would like to point out that Keith Lee needs at least one more move based off Dragon Ball Z moves. We already had the big, what was it, the Big Bang what?
The Big Bang Catastrophe. Yeah,
so the Big Bang Attack. Our spirit bomb is already there. Mm. There's got to be some sort of Destructo Disc or Kamehameha.
He's already got a spirit bomb. Why don't we just find some move to turn into the spirit gun?
Oh, no. Or every time he pounces someone out of the ring, he can scream Kaioken.
I'd be okay with that.
Kaioken! God.
All right, partner. Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is. WrestleMania predictions.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see Biker Taker, and I hope he comes out to Limp Bizkit.
Hey, he's going to make AJ famous.
He's going to make you famous. Rest in peace. So, yeah. WrestleMania is 2 days, which means that there's a fuck ton of wrestling. So much so.
But that doesn't mean that there's 8 hours of wrestling.
Yes.
It means there's 2 5-hour shows of wrestling.
Exactly. And that's what we all want, right?
I mean, it's not 8 hours of wrestling, and we don't need to sit through a 30-minute Triple H match that sometimes is exciting, sometimes is not.
Yeah, very true. So yeah, we will be going through our predictions for WrestleMania 36 as your predictions champion.
Transitional.
That's a pretty long transition, if you say so.
You defended it once.
Exactly. A transitional champion means, like, the next day on Raw.
Yeah, they defend it once sometimes.
Yeah, okay, well. We're adding a little extra rule to the stipulation. It's more or less, basically, it hinges on the Saturday night show. So if anyone in the predictions bracket that gets a completely perfect card gets an extra point going into Sunday, which could possibly, if you got the first card 100%, there's more than like that second card is definitely going to be like close to it, unless for some reason you're like
that the Sunday some ones of these are matches like, are a little fucky.
Yeah, that's very true. So we're gonna go ahead and start at the top of what's on my paper here.
KO versus Seth Rollins.
That is correct. I got Kevin Owens all the way, baby.
I am going to have to agree with you. I also have Kevin Owens on this, especially because they just keep bringing up how Kevin Owens has never had a WrestleMania moment, you know, except going over Jericho and that one with Sami Zayn. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't go into it.
And also, in storyline, the Authors of Pain are gone or out because... one of them's injured. Is it Occam?
I think actually one of them might have
Rocksteady. I can't remember which one.
I think one of them does have a legit injury, but I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, and I know that they said that they won't. It's the curse of the tag team is when one person's down, basically the other person has nothing to do until that person's back up. So
unless you're Jeff Hardy,
yeah, that's very true. So
oh, you're a single star now. Go jump off a ladder.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely got KO after this one. He's one of my favorite wrestlers in WWE, which is definitely a reason why I would want him to win. But in general, I think Seth has like his comeuppance coming up.
Yeah, I mean, well, also Kevin Owens has kind of been the thorn in his side for a while now. It just seems like without his posse, I mean, he's maybe got Buddy Murphy, who possibly is or is not sick. I don't know. There was a rumor that he might have been. But yeah, you gotta go KO on this one.
Definitely.
Moving on.
The one who waits for Knox, Aleister Black, will be up against the one who steals wives, Bobby Lashley. Who do you got and why?
I mean, you gotta think of the build-up that has been put into this match.
None.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Aleister Black's a Paul Heyman guy. I got to go Aleister Black.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be an okay match, but I expect Black to kick Lashley so hard his grandparents feel it, so.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna see, like, Lashley, Aleister, Lashley, Aleister Black Mass, the end.
Just out of nowhere, because mm-hmm. that's such a cool move. Even though it's just, like, a kick, but, like, it's just, the way that he pulls it off is just amazing.
Yeah. He does a better backspin kick than me.
and you can do one of those. Like, I can. Legitly. Up next, we have Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan for the IC title. Probably going to be one of the better matches on the card.
I think so. This was a very difficult decision for me, actually.
I don't think it was for me.
Well, I kind of thought it was because, like, in any, like, real-world scenario, Daniel Bryan should win this match if you look at the backing that WWE has behind each one of them. On that note, I'm going to have to go completely against what I just said and go with Sami Zayn, because I feel like Drew Gulak, I think he actually might do something to, like...
Some shady business?
I don't think necessarily shady, but I think, like, Cesaro or Nakamura might get involved, and Gulak's gonna do something that'll, you know, try to take them out and help, but he really might hurt Daniel Bryan. Especially with the look that he gave him when Sammy's like, okay, well, if you can beat Shinsuke over here, you know, then you get a shot. And he's like, that's not even a question. Of course Gulak can beat Shinsuke. And Gulak just kind of looked at him like, what, bro, you didn't talk to me about this?
I got a PowerPoint about this. I have Daniel Bryan winning because if you look at the way that this is all going, this would be Daniel Bryan reclaiming the belt that he never lost because he dropped it because of injury and, I guess, subsequently retirement. Plus, between Zayn, Cesaro, Shinsuke, and then eventually Drew Gulak, there's four matches for the IC title that could be like the best of the pay-per-views or shows that they play it on.
This is true, but it's Vince booking. Yes. Gotta go Zayn.
See, and that's why I'm thinking that way, because Vince knows that those would be good matches. Like, those are money, like, Shinsuke versus Daniel Bryan for the IC title, Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan, like, those are money matches. Despite what he thinks about them, you know that he's still going to listen to the money.
Your only hope is Daniel Bryan's backstage pull.
Well, I don't know.
He doesn't like Asian people. He thinks Cesaro is boring.
I'm not saying
and
that...
And Sami Zayn cannot show up at a Saudi Arabia show.
I'm not saying those people will win the belt from Daniel Bryan. I'm just saying all three of those people, plus Drew Gulak, who will probably eventually turn on him, can all have, like, those are all top-tier matches that they can have when D-Bry takes the belt.
Indeed, and when he doesn't, I'll take the belt from you. Moving on, Shayna versus Becky. So, why do you have Shayna Baszler again?
Well, because Shayna Baszler. That's my answer. I mean, if we're like peeling behind the curtain,
No need. That's my answer as well. Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, they say, like, in storyline, Becky's been too cocky. In real life, she's taking time off after this.
Well, then there was a virus.
You could still take time off.
Yeah, that was the only reason I was like, wait, there's a virus now. And she has actually kind of backed up to where she was getting the, you know, cocky thing. And now she's just kind of doing like she was doing for the Asuka match where, oh, you know, I'm not sure I can beat her. And, you know, this doubt makes me kind of question it. And if I lose the title, that's how I define myself. So I don't know what I'm going to do. And it all kind of made me re-question it. But at the same point, they can't go back on this. They booked Shayna way too strong.
Yep, 100%. 100%. Especially after taking out, like, everyone in that Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm.
Including one half of the Kabuki Warriors, who is facing Bliss Cross, or Cross Bliss, for the Women's Tag Team Championships.
I wrote Cross Bliss.
I bet you remembered those were a thing, right?
Yes, maybe.
Uh-huh, because they defended them so many times and had such meaningful rivalries.
Exactly. Storied rivalries, in fact.
Yeah, you'd think with the stacked roster over at NXT, they might dip down there just a little more.
Nope.
I mean, I understand why the two Raw superstars are not moving to SmackDown, because well, the Iconics are gone right now, and aside from Fire and Desire, who are kind of tied up, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Who you got for this one?
I have Blitzcross. I think the only reason to defend it is to lose it.
Yeah, I too have Blitzcross, only because they seem like more moneymakers. Like, Alexa Bliss has not necessarily pull, but she is more marketable. And same thing with Nikki Cross, I suppose.
Or Bliss is a sexy blonde, and Vince very much has a type.
Yeah, that's very true.
Tristratus.
Tristratus.
I mean, anyone. Michelle McCool. Kelly Kelly.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Stacy Keibler. Stacy Keibler.
Dirty old man.
Yep. Moving on. Cena versus The Fiend.
In a Firefly Funhouse match. I got The Fiend. Because, God, he needs help.
I also have the very cautiously have The Fiend simply because Goldberg beat The Fiend.
That's why he needs this win.
Oh, that's why he needs the win.
Yeah.
I think Cena will do the right thing, and he has a lot more pull than Goldberg does, but dear God, why? Why has it come to this? See, why?
I this is kind of a sidetrack. I was watching Adam Blompier's like fake prediction or fantasy booking for the WrestleMania, and he did it like before a bunch of people dropped out, but they still had the Cena Fiend match, and he was saying just because this is probably going to be one of those matches that's like very cinematic, because it won't be in an empty ring. I'm guessing the Firefly Funhouse match, it has to be something like fucked up, you know.
Oh, probably.
He was saying that it would be amazing if somehow Bray slowly started like whenever he is attacking John Cena at certain points, John Cena would essentially start devolving in characters. So like halfway through the match, he turns into the Master of Thugonomics. Oh, and then after that, it's like the him from
just rips off the jorts, and he's got the little
things on or whatever. Yeah, the ruthless aggression one. So
yeah, the ruthless is
So, but yeah,
ruthless aggression trunks.
Regardless, Fiend has to win.
I agree, but I also thought that he had to beat Goldberg, and well,
yeah, that's just.
And he had to beat Seth too, and well,
they're just dumb. All right, yeah. Up next, we have Bayley versus Sasha versus Naomi versus Tamina versus Lacey versus maybe someone else, but probably not, for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I mean, who else do they have that's not already involved in a match on the SmackDown roster currently?
That's very true.
The only random thing I'm thinking, we haven't seen SmackDown, and they could put Nia Jax in this match.
Is she cleared?
She's cleared. She was cleared since last pay-per-view.
That would be interesting.
Like, I honestly thought that she might be in Elimination Chamber.
Well, if that's the case, I'm picking Nia Jax. But
we don't know yet.
Exactly. Well, they're subject to change. We'll throw some stuff on Twitter if anything else is thrown out. But right now, I got Sasha winning.
Right now, you got Sasha.
Yep. Because you got the Sasha-Bailey feud, it's got to happen. And the perfect time to get that turn in is now. Although I think it's going to be Bayley trying to turn on Sasha, and Sasha like being the better of the two.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to do the rivalry again, but I think Sasha is going to be the face this time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, SummerSlam, tentatively now, we don't know,
is
scheduled to be in Boston, her hometown.
Boston. You packed the cat and have it yet.
See, part of me says that Sasha's gonna turn on Bayley and become the good guy. Part of me says that Bayley's gonna turn on Sasha, making her the good guy but remaining the bad guy.
See, I feel like if Sasha turns on Bayley, that would make Bayley the good guy. Like the one who is being turned on is the one who, the one who's the turned. Whoever's being betrayed usually becomes the good guy.
A lot of times, but Bayley's not very convincingly.
Yeah.
Although I guess she did tell a child she doesn't love her anymore. But yeah, someone's like, Bayley, I love you. And she screamed back, I don't love you anymore. it was a thing.
That's awesome.
There's also this random third voice in my head that says, like, those two are going to fight.
Uh-oh.
And then out of nowhere, Naomi is going to steal it.
You have voices in your head? They talk to you?
They understand. They talk to me.
Daniel, who you going for?
Against my better judgment, I'm going to have to say Naomi on this.
Ooh, all right.
Even though I also remember that I said several months ago, or several podcasts ago, that I think Lacey Evans might actually take it at Mania.
That would be interesting, but we'll have to see.
Nothing says she can. There's been absolutely no booking aside from the fact that she's blonde, she was a former Marine, and I guess Vince actually likes her.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
And it's SmackDown, so he's got more pull than Bruce Pritchard.
There you go.
Because he trusts Heyman a little bit more, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, true. Speaking of the voices in your head, we have Edge versus Orton in the Last Man Standing match.
This rivals on, like, themed levels of Edge has to win.
Yep.
There's also that little voice that's like, this would be so great, though, if Orton just kind of carried it out. And you get the Edge victory at SummerSlam when there's actually a crowd.
I don't know, man. He did a self-concerto on Edge's wife.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I know he RKO'd her. Like, I remembered that one over the chair. And then
hit her in the head with a chair while she was lying on the ground. Like,
yeah, it's kind of got to be Edge, doesn't it?
It's got definitely have to be Edge.
Okay, so Edge, last man standing.
Next match, which is definitely going to break my heart, is Dolph Ziggler versus Otis.
And it's going to break your heart because we both picked Dolph, didn't we?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, oh God, every fiber of my being wants Otis to just tear Dolph in half. But I know that's not going to... He's going to do it, and then somehow Dolph's going to win. Like that, because that's how these matches go, because...
Vince, generally.
Because Vince doesn't think that Otis can, like, be with someone like Mandy, or... Not Mandy, I'm sorry. Manny Rose.
Yep, Manny Rose. Wait. Quick question. I'm for some reason forgetting. Ziggler and Otis are SmackDown or Raw?
SmackDown.
Okay, yeah, never mind. I was gonna second guess it just for a minute, but yeah.
The
Dolph's winning.
The bigger thing about this one is essentially like who was it? Was it what's her name? Sonya?
It was Sonya.
Did they already admit that or
no? But it was Sonya.
I was saying it's either Sonya or Tucker.
Wasn't Tucker. It was Sonya.
No, it can't be Tucker. Otis can't have his heart broken twice like that.
Also, give Sonya a heel turn and push her to the moon. Well, I don't know if she's a heel already. Give her a face turn and push her to the moon? Give her some sort of a turn and push her to the moon.
And then put her to the moon.
I love Sonya Deville.
All right. Up next, it's another match we probably already know the answer to. We had Austin Theory and Angel Garza versus the Street Profits for the Raw Tag Champions. Why do you have the Street Profits?
Because they're a real... team.
Yep.
And Montez, they didn't have an injury report from Montez Ford doing that crazy spot that no one caught him for.
Oh, God.
Same one that Miz didn't catch Kofi for. But see, Miz was supposed to catch him. Seth Rollins was supposed to grab Montez Ford's foot. And then Montez was like, nope, he's not going to be there, so I'm just going to dive.
Jesus.
Like, either way, he's going to get taken out. So he's I'll just take myself out.
With Austin Theory and Angel Garza, like that wasn't even supposed to be the original match, and so I don't think it would be cool giving Austin Theory and Angel Garza the belt, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Probably not.
Because once all this is done, they'll probably go back to NXT.
Well, see, if this was AEW, I would actually pick Theory and Garza, because I would the dynamic of Andrade coming back and saying that was supposed to be me, mm-hmm. and then the feud you could get between, around that would be amazing.
But WWE doesn't do that.
Exactly, that's why I'm going with Street Profits.
Yeah, they don't think ahead, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Miz and Morrison versus the Usos versus the New Day for the SmackDown Tag Team titles, which may be a triple threat singles match at this point.
Yeah, because Miz isn't going to be there, basically.
He was sent home, but we're not sure if that was a cold and he'll be allowed back, or if just no, you were sick, you showed up to a recording, go home, you're fired. Maybe not that last one. But,
yeah, definitely not that last one.
But yeah, he was sent home, and then rumor has it that that's what prompted Roman Reigns to nah, man, all right, I'm going to head out.
You know what? Just a quick pause for a second. I can't believe the amount of shit that Roman's getting online for pulling out of WrestleMania. The dude, is in remission from leukemia. And we're in this epidemic where people with weak immune systems are more susceptible. The fact that he was still doing SmackDowns. blows my mind. Like, he should be home the whole time.
Yeah, like, someone showed up sick, and then he's like, okay, no, I can't do this.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
But yeah, the fact he waited that long is amazing.
Yeah, he should be in a bunker for the next 2 months, just waiting this out. Pretty much.
God, coronavirus puts Roman Reigns over.
Yeah,
right? Just like Vince always wanted.
It's like all these diseases are putting him over. He just needs to get over himself with the crowd.
Yes.
Who do you got for the wins?
No, who do you have for the wins?
Ooh, I'm going with the Usos.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
I've got Miz and Morrison.
Oh, interesting.
I think this is going to be very much a holding pattern because they will not be able to get the match they want out of this three-way.
Yeah? I feel like if they're... I doubt that they're going to have just, like, Miz or Morrison fight him, be by himself.
No, it might be, like, Morrison versus an Uso versus Kofi or Big E.
That would be stupid.
I know.
That would be really stupid if they just did a triple threat for the tag belts.
Given that that's the rumor, and I think they're just going to go into holding pattern or something's going to happen to where this doesn't work.
I'm gonna stick to my pick, but that would be dumb as shit if I lost because they're like, oh, this tag match is only going to have one member of each team in it now. That'd be dumb as shit, but that's just me. Up next, Goldberg versus Braun?
I mean, it hasn't been announced yet. Most people are saying Braun Strowman, which would lead me to think that Goldberg's going to retain because they can't push Braun.
Yep.
But, and there's, like, let's just dump the whole Dead Sea in this because there's a lot of salt. But what if it's Matt Riddle? That would be intriguing.
I still think Goldberg would lose or win.
I mean, most likely.
Because Vince is like, stop picking on Goldberg.
And Triple H is like, keep picking on Goldberg.
Keep picking on Goldberg. But yeah, regardless, Goldberg's going to retain because Roman's supposed to take the belt from him. That's the whole reason the Fiend's career had been significantly damaged.
Mm-hmm. I mean, part of me just... I think part of me actually thinks that Braun's only gonna win it because he's a lot cheaper to have on weekly episodes than Goldberg.
Yes, but when the inevitable match between Braun and Roman happens, everyone will cheer Braun and boo Roman, and that's not what they want. So keeping it on Goldberg because he has the heat for beating the Fiend will be cheered on regardless.
That's actually the reason that I'm going with Goldberg, because they want someone to cheer Roman.
Yeah, basically. Up next, a match I don't necessarily care about, King Corbin versus Elias in a match that is there.
This is hard, not because like the storyline is so complex that they've actually got me really involved, but because there's such little booking and I have so much apathy for this match.
Didn't Elias like almost die? Like, did he get pushed off something very tall?
I think he got powerbombed off of the balcony at the Performance Center.
Jesus.
I kind of want to go with Elias is going to be the, like, baby set up, or the baby face upset victory here. I got to go Elias over Corbin.
Yeah, that's...
I have to bet against our king. I'm so sad now.
That's right. Corbin sucks. I also have Elias.
You shut your mouth when you're talking about the king.
No, Corbin's the worst. Elias is like... I can't believe that the Drifter thing fell through so quickly, especially for how much Vince loves giant beefy men. Like, I always forget how just obnoxiously jacked Elias actually is.
Yeah. I honestly thought that they were going to do something with the 24/7 title when they gave it to him, and then it was like, nah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think he'll go ahead and win this one because, to be honest, it doesn't matter either way. And let's make people happy who aren't there, right?
Up next, we have the only NXT match on the WrestleMania card.
Yep.
Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair for the NXT Women's Championship. They're not changing the name, despite reports.
Really?
Who do you have reports? And why?
What were they changing it to?
There was reports that they were just going to drop the women's and call it the NXT title, and then, you know, say NXT Champion Rhea Ripley or NXT Champion Adam Cole. But those were all false.
I mean, is that trying to be PC?
That's after something Becky said, and then I think they I think someone mistakenly referred to Rhea Ripley as the NXT champion, and people are like, oh my God, they changed it. And it's like, no, that's just a flub. So, you think Rhea's going to win? You think Charlotte's going to win?
I think Rhea's going to win. I think it's time to give, like, and I know it's like, in my head, I'm like, Vince, long-term booking, you need more stars. Like, but it would be just the dumbest move if they let Charlotte win this match.
Would it? Because then she goes down to NXT, and then you have that main roster star power of Charlotte Flair as the NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah, but then you just shit all over, like, one of your hottest women wrestlers that you have right now. Because this is like a, like, this would be one of those matches where, like her stock would, I believe her stock would drop if Charlotte won. Because that, and at the same time, it's like, personally, tired of Charlotte having been a champion. Like, she can feud in other things, you know, like, she doesn't need to be going after a belt.
This is true, but she won the Royal Rumble because she was promised a championship thing that she didn't actually get.
Yeah. But I think, because she's, I feel like Charlotte's been, like, really, like, beating up Rhea a lot more lately. So I think this might be one of those cases of her hubris kind of getting to her, because she's like, I'm Charlotte Flair. And then Rhea's like, oi, I don't give a fuck, or however she talks.
Well, I gotta say,
there you go.
Ain't nobody taking that title off Rhea except Io Shirai. So, I gotta go Rhea on this one. I know that wasn't needed, but I enjoy doing it.
This is gonna be a great match, but fuck, man. If Charlotte wins, that would just be so dumb.
This is one of the ones I'm most unsure about, just because I'm pretty sure Vince is like, Charlotte. And Vince very much has a type, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, very true. The penultimate match on our pieces of paper, we have Taker versus AJ Styles in a Boneyard match.
Because we can't say graveyard on the TV right now.
Nope, but it doesn't matter. We're getting tight, Biker Taker. That's all.
Yep.
That's all I care about. That promo was awesome.
He's going to make AJ famous.
I will make you famous. I fully expect Taker to, like, AJ, basically AJ would be in this graveyard, like, come on, where are you at? And then you'd hear Limp Bizkit slowly fade in from the distance as he comes in and just, on his motorcycle, just boots AJ into the grave. And then, like, that's it.
I'm going to have to go with a different scenario where you hear Kid Rock in the background and he boots AJ into the grave.
Okay, yeah. I hope it's that Kid Rock.
Ow, man, American Badass, watch me. Okay, anyway.
I really hope, Taker's going to win.
Yeah.
100%. But...
Yeah, like, also, it kind of seems like this is a Buried Alive match without being a Buried Alive match.
Yeah, that's what, that's honestly what I assumed. Especially when they had, like, the tombstone of, what's his face?
AJ. Yeah, unless they're just fighting in, like, a mock graveyard for some unknown reason, and there's just, like, random shovels.
I like when, as dumb as it sounds, I like when the feuds are involving, like, the real-life characters. Because, like, he kept calling him Mark, and then...
Alan.
Yeah, exactly. So, regardless, it's going to be... I'm pretty excited about that one.
And we move on to our main event for one of the nights.
Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Champion.
Yep.
Now, this disturbs me greatly.
Yep. That's why I circled it.
Because I've heard rumors that McIntyre is not winning, and Lesnar is.
Yeah. That's exactly... Like, I think if circumstances were different, and this was in front of a live audience, McIntyre would win. But... because it's what it is, I'm pretty sure they're going to just have Lesnar hold on to it. And then when SummerSlam comes, give it another shot. Like, if there's people.
I've thought about that, and I thought they might want the pop. And then I told myself to shut up, because they have booked McIntyre so strong.
I know, but if you look at essentially everybody that has ever faced Lesnar.
Yes.
Like... Kofi Kingston was booked strong during his WWE championship run and then lost in like
6 seconds.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Like, logic doesn't... Like, there's no logic when it comes to Brock Lesnar, because they're like, if we're going to pay him this much fucking money, he's going to win, damn it!
And generally, yes. But oddly enough, I'm going with McIntyre on this one.
Ooh, shit. This is... this.
I think they've hit the point of no return, and even though there's been a oh shit button definitely pressed, I think they're going to press through. And then the first time you hear McIntyre's music once they have a crowd again, I think that's the pop that Vince is thinking about.
No, I honestly, I think that this is just going to go the same route as Goldberg and Fiend. Like, the Fiend was booked to be unstoppable. And was stopped in a very short amount of time. McIntyre has been booked to be a beast.
Saudi money.
Doesn't matter. McIntyre's been booked to be a beast, but that F5 doesn't care. And neither does Brock. So, but yeah, that's those are our predictions for the WrestleManias of 36.
So the IC title, the SmackDown Women's title, the SmackDown Tag Team title, and the WWE Championship are determining who's going to win this.
And that's between us. We still have the nefarious heel Scooby, which isn't really a threat, but like...
Not really, no.
You always got to add in that factor. Plus, Todd was pretty close last week, or the last one, too.
Max was also the sleeper. He was only one away, also.
Yeah, so like, I mean, they have him... Oh, well, Max was on the podcast last week. We played Super Fight. Todd hasn't been on the podcast yet, but there are people outside of the two of us that are also in this prediction board that we've been having for a while. So we,
yes, but the real champ, myself, and the secondary champ, Mike, are the only ones that matter at the moment.
Man, such hubris,
such truth.
Oh God, that'll be your downfall, sir. Just letting you know that right now.
That's what you think.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I believe that's the podcast for the day.
That sounds like a podcast for the day.
Next week we will have our results along with who knows, because the world's on fire right now.
Well, the quarantine's been extended, so more quarantine stuff.
More quarantine stuff, exactly.
I'm thinking of learning either jiu-jitsu or Italian.
You need to learn both.
Italian jiu-jitsu.
Yep, Italian. All right. Yeah, you do jiu-jitsu while holding a baguette and smoking a bunch of cigarettes at the same time.
That sounds more French. Anyway, from House of Pod, I'm Bash.
And I'm Mike. Fare thee well.